Please be seated.
Good morning. I might start with a joke that I think is funny. What do you call a guy without shins? He's not shinless. His name's Tony. Did I just get a boo? Wow. Practicing dad jokes already. Wow. I'm not even a dad. Okay. All right. Isn't it good to be in the house of God? I just want to give another shout out to everyone who helped out with Christmas in the Mall yesterday. I mean, come on. It was so cool. Can I share a story, actually? So, there was people praying for us yesterday, yes? I don't know if those people are here today, but I just had such an awesome encounter. Like, I met a guy called Will. He's not here, but I'm hoping he'll come soon to church. And I met him in the Mall, and it was just awesome. He actually asked me all these questions. He asked me about my faith and about Jesus. And then he asked me what I think about the afterlife. And I said, well, I believe in heaven and hell. And I believe that Jesus is the only way into the kingdom. And I just got to like witness to him, which is just so cool. So that was just from Christmas in the Mall. So thank you all the volunteers and people who were praying for us, because stuff was happening out there. So thank you again. Anyway, so, yeah, let's pray. Father in heaven, you're so good, God. We come to you now, and we just ask that you would have your way this morning. Lord, I just pray that you would speak through me. Let your word go forth. And we just give you thanks for everything you're doing in our church and in our lives. And Lord, we just pray that you give us open hearts and ears to hear your word this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Awesome. So you might think I'm talking on hope. I'm not talking on hope. Sorry. I'm talking on prayer. But it's hopeful. There you go. But if you would, if you got your Bible, we're going to read from Acts chapter 12. Starting at verse 1, this is just, I love this story. There's a lot of stories in the Bible that I love, and this is one of them. Like, you know, the David and Goliath story, all those great stories. Okay, are we there? Are we ready? It was about this time that King Herod arrested some who belonged to the church, intending to persecute them. He had James, the brother of John, put to death with the sword. When he saw that this met the approval among the Jews, he proceeded to seize Peter also. This happened during the festival of unleavened bread. Other translations, Passover. After arresting him, he put him in prison, handing him over to be guarded by four squads of four soldiers each. Herod intended to bring him out for public trial after the Passover. So Peter was kept in prison, but the church was earnestly praying to God for him. That's exciting. And the night before Herod was to bring him to trial, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and sentries stood guard at the entrance. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared, and a light shone in the cell. He struck Peter on the side and woke him up. "Quick! Get up," he said, and the chains fell off Peter's wrists. Then the angel said to him, "Put on your clothes and sandals," and Peter did so. "Wrap your cloak around you and follow me," the angel told him. Peter followed him out of the prison, but he had no idea that what the angel was doing was really happening. He thought he was seeing a vision. They passed the first and second guards and came to the iron gate leading to the city. It opened for them by itself, and they went through it. Then they had walked the length of one street, and suddenly the angel left him. Then Peter came to himself and said, "Now I know without a doubt that the Lord has sent his angel and rescued me from Herod's clutch and from everything the Jewish people were hoping would happen. When this had dawned on him, he went to the house of Mary, the mother of John, also called Mark, where many people had gathered and were praying. That's hilarious. Peter knocked at the outer entrance, and a servant named Rhoda came to answer the door. When she recognized Peter's voice, she was so overjoyed, she ran back without opening it and exclaimed, "Peter is at the door! You are out of your mind," they told her. And when she kept insisting that it was so, they said, "It must be his angel." But Peter kept on knocking. And when they opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. Peter mentioned with his hand for them to be quiet and described how the Lord had brought him out of prison. "Tell James and the other brothers and sisters about this," he said. And then he left for another place. What a cool story. Hey? So the title of the message is Power of Prayer. Let's just imagine that for a second, being in Peter's shoes, huh? Being intensely persecuted for your faith. James had become a martyr. But the good news is that the word got out to the church. And what did the church start doing? They started praying for a different outcome for Peter. But just imagine that an angel of the Lord appears. Like, I don't know if anyone's seen angels and stuff. I've never seen an angel, but I think I'd be quite like, whoa, like frightened. But imagine an angel of the Lord appears to you and helps you escape like a maximum security prison. This is what was happening. And Peter had to put on his shoes quickly and follow the angel. I mean, how incredible is that? Like, the church is praying for him, and Peter just like gets out of prison and is like, "Hey, guys!" Like, wow, it rocks my world. And their reaction is, "You're out of your mind." Have you ever been shocked at an answer to prayer? Have you ever had God answer a prayer in such a profound way that you're just like, "What? You're out of your mind." I'm sure all of us have some pretty crazy answers to prayer. I'd like to share one with you. This is a pretty simple one. But yeah, we were in Japan. I'm not sure if it was 2018 or 2017. It was either one of those years. And it was a Kong Tio adventure. And it was really funny because we got these tokens printed. And on theirs, they got Kong Tio trip 2018. And on mine, I got Japan trip Gary. Anyway, that's another story. But the thing is, we came to the end of our trip and we were spending a couple of nights in Tokyo. I found my favorite place, Ochonomizu. It's like a music shop. It's guitar heaven. But we were on the last legs of our little venture and Tokyo. So we woke up in the morning. I decided to have a word of prayer. And I just prayed to God and said, "God, Father God, it would be really cool if it snowed in Tokyo today and we got to do Mario Kart in the snow. Amen." And I prayed that prayer. Anyway, so fast forwarding into the day, we were, you know, doing our shopping and whatever, and the girls decided to go to this place called Harajuku, which is like the fashion capital of Tokyo, and they ran into this lady called the Kawaii Queen. I hope I pronounced that right. Kawaii Queen, which means queen of cuteness. So the girls were off doing their shopping, and the boys, me and Wei, were like, "Oh man, we really want to do Mario Kart." So we got a text from the guys who booked us to do Mario Kart, and they were like, "Oh, you have to come like right now, otherwise you can't do it because it looks like there's going to be a snowstorm that's going to hit Tokyo." So we're like, "Yep, we're there." We got on the train. We boosted as fast as we could. We left the girls to do their shopping because, you know, every man loves shopping. And we boosted and we went to do Mario Kart. So if you don't know what Mario Kart is, it's like, does everyone know Super Mario? Yeah, so it's like Super Mario. You get to drive little go-karts and we got to do that in Tokyo. So anyway, we rocked up at the place and like, it was crazy. Like, we walked in, it wasn't snowing. It was like maybe a little bit of snow, but barely any snow. So we walked in and, you know, we did all the documents. And then as soon as we stepped out, it just started snowing, like really snowing. Like, it was crazy. And it was like, and people thought it wasn't going to snow because it never snows in Tokyo, maybe once every 10 years or something. Like, people didn't think it was gonna snow. That our tour guide who took us, he just went out in like shorts and a t-shirt. And that was his mistake because we were halfway through the thing and he almost suffered hypothermia. But he was fine. Like, everyone was like warming him up afterwards. And anyway, I share that story because it's a little answer to prayer. It's probably not that deep, but it's good. But I prayed. I actually prayed that morning. So, but here's the thing. Prayer has the power to change things. And you know, sometimes there's nothing we can do to convince anyone about the truths of Jesus. I mean, I don't know if you've ever tried to, like, talk with a non-believer, but often it just turns into a fight that ends up nowhere really quick, right? Because everybody has their world view. But here's what we can do. We can actually pray for the Holy Spirit to break down walls in their hearts. And I know prayer is like a massive topic, and I don't intend to cover all of it today, but I'd like to focus in on an area called intercessory prayer. So intercessory prayer is really about standing in the gap for other people and praying for them. Now, there's a difference for praying for people and praying at them, okay? So if I'm praying for someone, I'm asking God to bless them. I'm thanking God for them. And I'm not asking God to condemn or to rain fire, but I'm asking God to bless them and open up their hearts to Jesus. And it's leading up to Christmas, yeah? Who's got Christmas plans? One person, awesome. We've all got Christmas plans, yeah? We're going to be meeting with family. There's going to be feasts and celebrations, which is just, I love it. I love cooking turkeys. But I know many of us have friends and family who don't know Christ. And I want to share this morning a little bit about how we can pray for them. And because if we do want to see the kingdom of heaven here on earth, we need to learn how to pray. And if we decide to see revival, and we decide to see people's lives transformed by the amazing power and love of our awesome Heavenly Father, we need to learn how to pray. And I think a good place to start is knowing who we're praying to. Amen? So, who is God? That's a big question too. I can't answer that fully, but I do know He is powerful, He's everlasting, He's forever sovereign. I mean, I sometimes think about how puny we are on little earth, and it blows my mind to think that we get to have the opportunity to have a relationship with God. And Jesus teaches us to pray. What does He teach us? He teaches us to pray our Father. So we need to know God as our Father. And He actually takes it a step further. We're supposed to be so close to God that we know Him as Abba Father, which the literal translation for that is Dad. Is that weird? Like, Dad in heaven. Like, there's a deep intimacy that our Dad in heaven longs to have with us. And it's available to us through Jesus. We become children of our Heavenly Father when we receive Christ into our hearts. And it's a pretty special thing because this was foreign to people in Old Testament days. They didn't have that intimacy with God. It is true that God was known as Father, but not as Abba Father. It's a big thing to know God as Abba Father. And Romans 8:15 says, "The Spirit you received does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. And by Him we cry, Abba, Father." Isn't that beautiful? So we need to know God as Abba, Father. And here's another thing. I think it's a two-way street. Sometimes we think prayer is just like us blasting our prayers to God. Well, at least I know for myself, I think sometimes I can spend a lot of time asking God to do things that I can even forget to be thankful for things at times. And maybe I spend a lot of time asking God to do things when I don't spend a lot of time trying to listen. I usually have a lot to say to God and can often get too impatient to wait to hear a response. And I think, you know, just like we were singing that song, I just want to sit here at your feet. I think that's a great practice to have, just sitting at the feet of Jesus, just being in his presence. We don't necessarily have to come with all these words and prayers, but we can just simply sit and seek his face and allow God to speak to us. And God speaks to us through all kinds of things, through visions, dreams. I find one of the most common ways is he speaks to us through his word. Sometimes when I'm praying, the Holy Spirit will drop a scripture into my heart. It's like a light bulb goes on. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Oh, thank you, Lord, for reminding me. God speaks to me through music and creativity. I think a good way to illustrate it is marriage. Raina's like, amen. But marriage is a relationship, yeah, and it's built, there is a deep trust about it. I trust Raina with my life. Maybe if she's not lifting things, no. I trust her completely with my life, and she trusts me with her life. There is an intimacy that we share, and sometimes I can just go home and like just sit and be in her presence, and it's good enough. I don't have to say anything. I don't have to do anything. I can just sit and be with her, and it's awesome. And we know what we both like and dislike. And in a similar way, it's a reflection of like how our relationship should be with God. See, God desires that same intimacy with us. He wants to be our Abba Father. And Jesus paid the price so that we could have that relationship with our dad in heaven. And we can come boldly to him. And how do we get to know people? By spending time with them. And we get to know God by spending time with him. You get to know someone's heart by hanging out with them, yeah? In the same way, we get to know God's heart by hanging out with him. I know, it's rocket science, isn't it? But we can get to know what he does and doesn't like by just taking time to spend with him. So I think that's very important, to know God as Abba Father, yeah? Amen? So my second thing is, we're going to get into this intercessory prayer thing. This is like a big subject, and if you'd like a book to read, just get Dutch Sheets' book on intercessory prayer. It's very good. I highly recommend it. So what is intercessory prayer? Glad you asked. Glad you came to church. It is praying on behalf of others. It is standing in the gap for other people. And what we need to understand is Jesus intercedes for us. Romans 8:34 says he is at the right hand of the Father interceding for us. So Jesus is the mediator between us and the Father. And this enables us to have a relationship with our Heavenly Father. It means we can pray and God hears our prayers. So Dutch Sheets writes in his book, intercessory prayer is an extension of the ministry of Jesus through his body, the church, whereby we mediate between God and humanity for the purpose of reconciling the world to him, or between Satan and humanity for the purpose of enforcing the victory of Calvary. So let me just say this, all right? We have a responsibility to pray and intercede for people in our world. We have a responsibility to pray for our neighbors, for our teachers, even the ones we don't like. We have a responsibility to pray for students, for colleagues, even our politicians, governments, denominations, churches, family. Amen. Yeah. 1 Timothy chapter 2 says, I urge you then, first of all, that petitions, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for all people. And I just, intercession and thanksgiving be made for all people. Are we thankful for the people that we pray for? Because I know sometimes my prayers are like, oh God, please let this person leave me alone. Make them not be annoying. But we're to give thanks. And we're to intercede for all people. Even if we don't agree with them, we still should be giving thanks to God for them and praying blessing on them. It goes on, for kings and all those in authority, that we may live in peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. This is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants all people to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and mankind, the man Christ Jesus. Man, I think we live in interesting times. I mean, even in church, we can be pretty critical and negative towards political parties or even denominations and churches. But this is saying we're called to actually pray for them and bless them and be thankful for them. That's kind of hard sometimes, I'm not going to lie. But God's will is that everyone would be saved and that no one would perish. And our prayers help with that. Our prayers move the heavens. I mean, Acts 12, we just read it, the story about Peter. I wonder what would have happened if the church didn't pray. I wonder what would have happened if people weren't praying for you, for your salvation. But every believer is called to intercede and pray for people. So last time I shared, I talked about spiritual warfare, and we touched briefly on 2 Corinthians 10, 4 and 5. So I want to look at that a little bit this morning as well. So it says this, the weapons we fight with are not weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. I mean, this is a good thing we can do for ourselves. You know, we pull down those strongholds in our minds. But I'd also like to suggest that when we pray, we can actually do this for other people as well. So let's think about this. What is a stronghold? Glad you asked. It is a fortress in the mind. I mean, have you ever thought about taking on a fortress? There's guards, there's weapons, there's soldiers, there's all kinds of things protecting the fortress from any intruders. Like as soon as someone comes through, it's just like, beep, 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 intruder alert. Like, they can spot you from a mile away. But fortresses are very hard to penetrate and it takes a lot of firepower. Unless you have like a nuclear bomb, which no one really has access to. But it takes a lot of firepower and can seem impossible to take down, right? So what are some strongholds, you might ask? Well, I think one of the biggest strongholds is pride. People think, I don't need God. I am my own God. I can do whatever makes me happy. I can make it on my own. Bono's right, by the way. You can't make it on your own. But what about the stronghold of fear? Have you ever met people who are just gripped with fear and anxiety? Or the stronghold of money? Man, that's a big one. If I become a Christian, what if God tells me to give all my money away? So what? Maybe that's stopping someone from following Jesus. I don't know. There's all kinds of strongholds we can have that other people can have. So how do we pray with divine power to demolish these strongholds? I think a great thing we can do is ask the Holy Spirit to identify what the stronghold is. Ask the Holy Spirit to show us. Now, I'd like to give an example of what it doesn't sound like, okay? Now, if I'm praying for someone, it doesn't sound like this. Oh, God. I just can't stand Jimmy. I pray for him right now. I just pray you really do something in his life. He really needs a miracle. Amen. there's not a lot of power in that prayer. I'm sorry if anyone's name is Jimmy. It's not aimed at you. It's just, it's made up. But here's what it might sound like. Father God, I thank you for Jimmy. I stand in faith for him right now. I demolish the stronghold of addiction in his life. I pray you would open his heart and you would speak to him. We ask your blessing on him and ask that you would protect him from all the fiery darts of the enemy. We stand in the gap for him and intercede for him in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I'd also like to say it's not witchcraft and it's not some crazy mind control and it's not the force. But it's called prayer. And it has the power to demolish strongholds in people's minds. And it pulls down those, because people have these false arguments against God in their own minds. And when we pray this way and ask God to demolish these strongholds, it actually gives an opening to God to come into their lives, and it gives a way for God to come into those strongholds. It creates in them an openness to God that only comes through prayer and interceding. And I know this is true because before I became a Christian, there were people praying for me. And like, I have to say, I was super negative towards Christianity and towards any Christian I came across. I was like Paul, but I didn't ever murder anyone, thank God. But I was just so negative towards other Christian people. But a church actually started praying for my salvation. And it created an openness in me to God. Isn't that crazy? And God started to speak to me, and there was encounters that I started having, and their prayers actually really did something in my life. And we've seen this same power at work in our family as we have stood and prayed and interceded for family members. I mean, most of you know my sister Shari. I mean, she was caught up really bad in drugs, and we prayed for her, and we continued to pray for her for many years. And since we started praying for her, like, all kinds of crazy stuff happened. And I don't think it was just like some coincidence, but it was because we were praying. Like, how funny is this? Like, when we started praying, she started dating guys who had like Christian parents, and they'd force them to like come to church, which was awesome. And she kept on having these God encounters. Like, and she used to be on the phone and she's like, I don't know what's happening. I just keep meeting Christians. Yeah, because we're praying for you. But you know, her life is totally transformed and turned around now, which is awesome. But things happen when we pray. She started having these God encounters, which is just great. So I just want to encourage us here this morning to keep on praying and keep on interceding, because nothing is impossible to God. And it could take, I don't know, 10 years for a prayer to be answered, or 1 hour. But our job is to intercede and pray. So what I'd like to do right now is actually take a moment. Oh, we got heaps of time, eh? It's great. But I'd actually like to take a moment, and if we can gather a few people around us, like one or two people, because I know we all have family members or friends or colleagues, and I'd like to just actually take some time to pray for them and intercede for them. And maybe God's already talking to you about a stronghold that might be in them. So you can take that stronghold captive and pull it down and bless them and thank God for them. So, or maybe you might want to pray for a politician. That's a bit crazy, isn't it? No one likes that. No one's like, yeah, I'll pray for the politicians. I will. Absolutely. Bless them. So let's do that now. So let's just find one or two people next to you, and let's pray for some things. Like, if you want to pray for a politician, a famous person, whoever, but just stand in the gap for someone, and let's do that.